Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dean and today you are here for top transfer tips ahead of the Game Week 30 deadline, which is a midweek deadline on Tuesday afternoon UK time, 4:30 I think, give or take. I might have to double check that. The clocks have obviously changed as well, so the football is now on an hour earlier for me. I think that's how it works. Hour later for you guys in the UK. I don't actually know. But either way, it's brilliant because on Sunday night now, when Man United play, because we're always in the Europa League, I'll be able to watch it and have a little bit more sleep, which is nice. With that being said, obviously, lots of things have changed because of the FA Cup, and I will be covering that really quickly as well at the start of this video, and there has been bigger ramifications. I'm obviously on wildcard myself, so if you are on wildcard, hopefully I'll be able to share my new light on what I'm likely to do, and I'm probably going to have to get some Arsenal players into my team now. And I really didn't want to, but realistically, I might have to because of the fact that they're highly likely to double after last night's results. But before we go any further, if you could do me a favor, smash a like on the video, leave me a comment, share it with your friends. And if you can't do that, please think about subscribing if you haven't already done so. And without further ado, let's jump straight into it. So, the FA Cup recap. What were the results overnight? Well, I can tell you what happened overnight. Fulham got absolutely spanked yet again by Crystal Palace. It turns out that those teams play better against each other away from home. And Crystal Palace again showed us that they are super good away from home. 3-0 win here. Very easy win for them in the end. That, I mean, the first 30 minutes, I thought Fulham were definitely on to beat them. And then Crystal Palace, Eze, amazing goal, showed up. And look, we're going to talk about Eze and Sarr a little bit later on in the top transfer targets for this week. But they both looked really good. The one player that didn't look too flash, I don't know if it's because he was putting me off because he was wearing the mask or whatever, was Mateta. And obviously Brighton lost to Nottingham Forest on penalties, minus Chris Wood. Chris Wood was not available, and then Nuno didn't give a very helpful update after the game either, basically inferring that Wood might be out for a little while. Not good for Wood owners like myself, but I'm going to be losing him anyway on wildcard, so that's neither here nor there. But it does mean that Nottingham Forest potentially may not actually blank. So the blank game week 34 might be a little bit better. So let's have a look at what actually means. At the moment, Preston are playing Aston Villa. It's nil all, 19 minutes gone. Ollie Watkins is ironically on the bench, so he is fit, but he's on the bench. And Marco Asensio starts with Marcus Rashford up top, so that could be interesting with some ramifications down the line for what Villa assets you want to go with. So, the fixture's still in doubt. Now, Arsenal versus Crystal Palace is 100% in doubt now, and it's highly likely that that will blank in game week 34, along with probably Man City, Aston Villa, unless Man City lose to Bournemouth and Aston Villa somehow lose to Preston. But at this time of the recording, Aston Villa is still drawing with Preston, so you would think the Villa are going to do the job there. Man United versus Bournemouth obviously still in doubt as well, depending on that result from Bournemouth versus Man City. But the Nottingham Forest one. Now, this is highly unlikely. It's highly likely this game will stay in game week 34. Due to the fact that Forest are involved on Monday Night Football in game week 33 and game week 35. And look at that. I put a this with a double I. I mean, I looked at these slides so many times before I whacked them up and I still missed a spelling error. I've always got to have one every video. So there you go. There's this one. So that does mean that in game week 34, we now know Chelsea versus Everton is on. Liverpool versus Spurs is on. Wolves versus Leicester is on. Newcastle versus Ipswich is on. Southampton versus Fulham is on. And Brighton versus West Ham is on. So look, there are a lot of games on and there is every chance that this could be a blank game week, a bit like blank game week 29, where it's just two fixtures that are blanking. So it could well be that it's Arsenal versus Crystal Palace and Man City versus Aston Villa, depending on the results tonight, that only blank in 34. And therefore, the free hit 38, as part of my strategy, is definitely looking like a massive play if it stays this way and I nail the wildcard draft. Like, essentially, I'm on here. I reckon I'm on. So, recapping the fixture difficulty rating, now with that new information that we've got. So Arsenal, as I said, I wasn't really intrigued in getting their assets at all, but the fact they're going to be doubling in 33 and almost every man and his dog is going to own at least two of the Arsenal defenders basically means that I probably have to do exactly the same. As much as it pains me to do it, I'm probably going to have to do it and bite the bullet and suck it up. And obviously I'm going to have my three Newcastle, three Crystal Palace assets in line from game week 30 to 33. Now that Palace are likely to double as well, I'm probably going to hold their assets through to game week 34 and then just sell them, all three of them en masse, game week 34, because I don't really like their fixtures that follow. 35, 36, 37, 38 are not amazing fixtures. Yes, they've got Wolves in 37, but Nottingham Forest at home and then Tottenham away. I mean, you could hold them, I suppose. It just depends on what kind of form Palace are in, but they would be easily sells, a bit like they were in game week 29. Obviously, as well, Liverpool do have to be... If Liverpool win the league round 33, 34, 35, it's going to be very interesting, like the way that they play. Maybe they just start smashing goals and the pressure's off. I don't know. Or maybe they take it easy, start rotating. I'm not really too sure. Spurs just don't go anywhere near them. I know they've got Southampton and Wolves after this week, but my God, that team is useless. Do not go there. Wolves, I wouldn't be going there either. I'm probably looking... I mean, Wolves' fixtures look pretty good on paper, right? It's just the problem is that... The ones that you want are suspended, Cunha, until game week 33, which is not ideal. And then you miss out on Ipswich, you miss out on West Ham, you missed out on Southampton already as well. I just think, yeah, essentially, that's all you need to know. But now that game week 33 is a little bit more clearer, even without the fixtures being announced, it does make it a little bit easier to plan, especially if you're on wildcard like myself. So, onto the system managers with table bonus. Now, there are seven this week. Now, if you're one of those people that you wanted to go a week early, I would recommend you just hold for the double-double of your assistant manager chip. 32 to 33, you're going to have a guaranteed double-double for Crystal Palace. You might have four table bonus games in there, depending on results and how they go over the next couple of games. So, for me, I just wouldn't be going anywhere near the assistant manager chip. But if you're someone that wanted to go a little bit early, I would suggest that Amarin and Frank have really good opportunities. Newcastle have been boozing it up on the bus over the weekend, and who knows what kind of state they will show up in to this game against Brentford. I'm hoping it's good because I'm going to have three Newcastle assets. I may even have three starting my team this week. But it does fill me a bit of trepidation. You go out drinking on a weekend, maybe you're not that good midweek, maybe you are, maybe you're fine, I'm not sure. But Amarin is probably a really good bet. The fact that Nottingham Forest are probably going to be without Chris Wood, I would say almost 100%. They also are off the back of playing 120 minutes in the FA Cup, and they're probably going to be a little bit giddy and on a bit of a come down, hopefully. And Amarin might be able to sneak you a 20-pointer here quite easily. Postecoglou versus Chelsea is definitely the third one. Silva, I think Fulham are going to be very disappointed after that game. Maybe they take out an Arsenal, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that potentially they won't. And then McKenna, obviously, versus Bournemouth. Van Nistelrooy versus Man City and Juric versus Crystal Palace. I mean, come on, they're not getting any points, those last three managers. And yeah, so I think that the first three, highly likely, potentially they could get some returns. But again, I'd be holding the AM chip unless you've already activated it. So, onto the top transferred in and out players of the week. And I love talking about this because some of these moves make zero sense to me at all. Like, I just don't get them. And this week, we're going to start on the players out column. Cole Palmer leaving. I understand it. I've sold him myself. He's still yellow flagged. Apparently, he's been back in training. Jackson's back in training, which is great for him. Nonny Madayk is back in training, as well as Lavia, which is all probably good news for Chelsea as a whole. I just think that he's gone off the boil a little bit, and it's been the case for a little while. And until he hits some form, I think you can safely go without him. I think you're better off just going for like a Haaland at this point. Yeah, that's the way I'm viewing it. That's the way I'm going with it anyway. Alexander-Arnold, I can't believe he's still owned by 25% of the comp. Just get rid of him. He's been an overrated fraud as far as I'm concerned. I haven't enjoyed owning him the two times I've owned him this year. He's definitely been a waste of money, and I'm glad to see the back of him, and good luck at Real Madrid. And to all those Liverpool fans burning his shirt, don't blame you. To Chris Wood, Woody the Woodpecker. Unfortunately, his second coming in my team is officially at an end. He will be leaving 100% for Mateta. He's a definite sell. Hall, ditto, 9.1% still own him. He ain't coming back this season. Get rid of him. And Boemo is also going to be leaving my team. He's highly owned, so I am taking it on. And so is Robinson. He's also going to be leaving my team, as is Wissa. So you can see all these players that are like heavily being sold. I'm actually selling them myself. So for me, I'm fully on board. I understand why people are getting rid of them. Fulham's fixtures are absolutely rubbish looking at the fixture ticker. And Brentford are up there with Man United in terms of how bad they are in terms of the fixtures. Pickford, Everton, absolutely horrible. And Beto, that also makes perfect sense why people were getting rid of him. Cunha's obviously suspended for the in games you actually want him to play. So again, I still can't believe 7% own him. Aina, I don't understand this one quite so much. Nottingham Forest have been unbelievably good defensively. And I think that I don't know where you're going from, Aina. Unless you're dropping down to Milinkovic and saving 0.5 mil, maybe. I understand that bit, but I'm not sure. Bruno Fernandes selling him, I'm going to keep him. I'm legit going to keep that man on wildcard. He has been so good for me. And I can't say no to the man. I can't say no to the man at all. He's just going to continue to stay in my team, I think, now to through to the end of the season. He is Manchester United. Ollie Watkins, he's on the bench in the FA Cup. I don't know if that's because they want him to get fit for the league. I'm not sure. Again, I just think there's better forwards. So for me, he's definitely a sell. Ditto, João Pedro. These forwards are perfectly fine. It's just there's three uber forwards from this week for like the next 4 weeks. It's Isak, Mateta, Haaland in that order. So for me, any other forward is a sell if it means you're bringing in those three. I think they're going to be very consistent over this period of time. Gordon, I understand why people are selling, but I think potentially this is a little bit premature. I think that he's probably going to be fine. And obviously after this week, he'll be good for the Leicester game, hopefully, touch wood, if we hear from Eddie Howe. And that'll be really good. Like, he'll be a great asset there. Raul Jimenez, again, another forward. I understand why people are selling him. Matoma, again, Brighton, I know not going to be doubling in 33, but Brighton actually do have a really nice run of fixtures, so I'm surprised that Matoma is in the top 20 sold players this week. Mikulenko, again, his evidence run of fixtures is garbage, and, you know, he's yellow flagged, which is never ideal. Mateta, I don't know why Mateta and Bowen are on this list. Like, Bowen has an amazing fixture this week with Wolves. He's got Southampton in 3 weeks' time. Yes, the two after this week are not that flash. But Jared Bowen is I would love to have him on wildcard. I just don't think I can afford it with having to get some Arsenal players now because of last night's results. And Mateta, I think this might have been people thinking he wasn't going to be fit and selling him because I don't know why anyone else is selling him. So the top transfer in players this week, Bruno Fernandes off the back of that massive 17 points. He's already had a couple of price rises. 8.6 million he's going to cost you now. I still think he's great value. He is Manchester United and he has been involved in 12 of the last 14 goals Man United have got. So what is there not to love there? I think he's brilliant. Marmoush, this is a transfer I do not understand. We've already seen Marmoush be the victim of Pep Roulette. In 7 games, he's only returned in 2. Yes, the 2 games he's returned in out of those 7 have been absolute monster hauls. But I mean, 2 in every 7, like, that's just not good enough. And, like, if you're going without Haaland for Marmoush, I think you're rolling a big dice. Marmoush's data is nowhere near as good as Haaland's. Haaland's still on penalties. Yes, you're paying double the price for him. In fact, more than double the price for him. I just think that he's a guaranteed lock. He ain't going to be getting Pep Rouletted. Marmoush has already been shown that he can be Pep Rouletted. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm not keen on Phil Foden and Savinho and others at the moment. You just don't know who's going to start. And for me, that is danger game. And we're at the point of the season now where you can't be affording to be going with a player like that, taking up that budget and not actually starting for your team and worrying about it every time the lineups get dropped. Isak, 100%. I bought him back in on wildcard. He's an amazing asset. Ismaila Sarr, Munoz, Mateta, they are all on this list. I'm surprised that Eze is not in the top 20 transferred in players as well. I think he's just outside. But again, all these players, absolutely fantastic. They're brilliant players. And you probably want, it's a shame you can't have 4 or 5 Palace assets because I'd have 4 or 5. Mo Salah, again, these are probably the people that sold him last week, bringing him back in. I mean, unlucky if you took such a value hit on him, but I just don't know why you would have just held him for the week. Kirkez, again, ditto. He's brilliant. I can't believe I bought him at 4.4 million and he's now up to 5.2. Absolutely crazy. And he's got a nice little run of fixtures as well. And him and Clive are definitely the two Bournemouth assets you want in your team. I'm not getting a third and they're probably going to be like that. Erling Haaland for me is definitely, he should be where Marmoush is. As far as I'm concerned, those two should be swapped. I think, watch me eat my own words when Marmoush outscores Haaland, but I'm pretty confident Haaland's going to outscore Marmoush. Milenkovic, I still think is the best defender in the game, and I think that everyone should own him. I'm still shocked that only 10.2% of people own him. I'm very thankful that only that amount of people own him because it means that every time he returns points, I'm getting a massive leg up on the competition. Vardiol, I looked at him on wildcard and a wildcard draft. I just don't understand what the hype is. Since Marmoush has come in, ironically, Gvardiol has not been getting anywhere near as far forward, and Man City keep conceding goals. Even against the crap teams, they are conceding goals. Langa, he's a really good buy if you're after a cheap enabler. I don't mind that one. Mateta, again, ditto. Gabriel, I can't believe this. I was going to say he's a horrible buy with that, at that price, but I think I'm actually going to buy him myself now on wildcard, so I can't say that anymore. only because of the fact that he's owned by 30.7% of the comp, and I just can't afford to take that on, I think, when I'm ranked 1,054, you know what I'm saying? Henderson, I love him as a goalkeeper. I just think that the goalkeepers I'm going for probably better than him, and I think there's better Palace assets to own than Henderson rather than wasting a spot there. Dan Burn looks great at 4.4 mil. Virgil van Dijk, I wouldn't be going anywhere near him. Liverpool's defence, I reckon their data is going to drop off. As soon as they win the league, they're going to concede a lot more goals. Put money on it right now. Jacob Murphy, I really love him. 3.8% ownership. I've owned him at the very start of the season. I think I'm going to own him for the very end of the season as well. He is someone that I'm actively looking to bring into my team this week. João Pedro, I understand people are after an enabler. And Saliba, again, Arsenal defence proving very popular. And it's only going to increase with the results from the FA Cup last night. So on to my best buys and sells for defenders this week. So the best buy has to be Munoz. He's up to 5.1 million now. I can't believe I went without him for so long, but it was because I knew he had that blank game week. But now he has probably a guaranteed double-double. He's got an XGI of 0.25, which is just elite for a defender. His XGC, expected goals conceded per 90, is 1.24, so not horrible defensively either. Southampton away, best starting point to get on with as well. Brighton at home, followed by Man City away and Newcastle away. How many attacking returns can you get between now and the end of the season? I don't know, but I'm here for him. So I'll be expecting, and I'm looking very excited. I'm very excited to have him come into my team this week. Milinkovic is very close behind. He is at number two. I still don't understand how he's only 4.9 mil and he is literally delivering more points than Gabriel does, and you pay 1.5 million more for Gabriel than you do Milinkovic. And Nottingham Forest just continue to get the clean sheets. And I wouldn't be surprised if they outperform Arsenal in terms of clean sheets between now and the end of the season as well, especially since they'll be chasing the Champions League spot for next year. And Arsenal are probably going to be distracted by playing in the Champions League. Kerkez comes in at number three, 5.2 million again. His underlying attacking data is not the best, but he's just so good. Like, he puts balls in that literally remind me of, like, if it was David Beckham of his and he had a left foot. That's what it kind of reminds me of. Kirk is a brilliant asset. Dan Burn, he's probably the pick of the Newcastle ones. You just expect the bullet header to go in at some point after that Carabao Cup game. And look, they have a really nice run of fixtures coming up. And I've tried to find him a spot in my team. It's either Dan Burn and or Nico Williams for me in that last defender spot. But it does mean that I then don't play Pope and I play someone else in goal. And maybe that is the play. Maybe that's the better use of my Newcastle assets. I'm not 100% sure. Gvardiol, I've got him in here at number five, only because of the fact that I think that Man City and Aston Villa, I think if they're highly likely to double right. So I think that I've got to recommend at least one asset from either of them in the defence. Gvardiol, I think, is probably the best one from Man City that is reliable, that's probably immune from Pep Roulette, but even he occasionally gets rotated. De Sarsi could be an absolute disaster waiting to happen, but I just think with that run of fixtures coming up, he's dirt cheap as well, like 4.2 million. He hasn't missed a game other than the Chelsea one, which he obviously couldn't play against as he came in. So yeah, again, I think he's a great buy. Alexander-Arnold, goodbye. See you later. End of. The Premier League will be poorer off for not having him, but FPL will not be poorer off for not having him. I know it's controversial. I'm just going to say it. I'm not a fan of Trent at all. It's probably because he plays for Liverpool as well, and I'm very glad to see the back of him from my own team. Hall, unfortunately, he is gone for the rest of the season. I still can't believe people haven't sold him. Continue to sell him. He needs to go. He ain't coming back. Pedro Porro comes in at number three as a sell this week. I still don't know how so many people have persisted for this long. Are they just Tottenham fans? If you're a Tottenham fan and you've got Pedro Porro, please tell me why you keep getting him. Ange is even benching him now. So like, I don't understand why people are holding on and he just continues to drop in price. Robinson, unfortunately, this is his last week. Well, last week was his last week in my team. He finished off with 7 points. I can't see him returning anytime soon except from an attacking return. So for me, he's an easy sell. Eight Nori, again, he was in my team. I had him for two nice fixtures. Delivered absolute crickets. He'd probably get two returns the next 2 weeks, but I think there's better options. And if you're on wildcard, he's not got the sustainable run of fixtures post these couple of weeks. And then Mikalenko, again, unfortunately, he's got that yellow flag and the fixture run for Everton is absolutely garbage from here on in. So onto the midfielder buys and sells for this week. And this is so hard to recommend who is the best buyer this week. I think it's probably Ismaili Assar. But I've got no faith in this decision at all, except that to afford everything else in my own squad, it's Ismaili Assar without me having to make any compromises anywhere else. And the fact that he costs 5.6 is dirt cheap. Obviously, the same fixtures as Eze. The attacking data, in numbers-wise, says that Assar should outperform Eze quite comfortably. However, Assar is not on free kicks. Eze is on a lot of them. Eze is also on a few corners, I think. Assar is not. But Assar gets more chances, and I just think with that Southampton game, the way that he plays, in theory, should equal more chances for him to get attacking returns than Eze in terms of a goal threat itself. So for me, that's how I've got him ranked. You could either split him by the hairs. The fact that one costs 1.1 million less is the reason why I'm recommending Assar over Eze. Again, I think they're both great assets. Jacob Murphy comes in at number three. He's fit. He's available. Gordon is not, which means Jacob Murphy's nailed on starter. His attacking data is not the best. 0.21 expected goals, 0.2 expected assists. But the run of fixtures is next level good. And I think you just roll with him. And I'm hoping that he repays the faith that I originally had in him in the start of the year with some massive hauls in the time I own him. It would be very nice. Clivert, he's definitely the best Bournemouth midfielder buy. If you haven't got him by now, you probably have missed a lot of points, and I think you're going to miss more if you continue to take him on. He is a great asset. 6.3 he's gone up to now, so he just continues to rise in price. Jared Bowen I still love. I think that if there was a way I could fit him in, and like in reality it's Jared Bowen versus Bruno Fernandes, and unfortunately my love of Man United is probably going to be the undoing of me, which is why Bruno's staying in the team. And plus, Bruno could now, in theory, still potentially double in game week 33 if Bournemouth win later on today. So for that reason, I've still got Bruno as number six because their run of fixtures is rubbish. It's just Bruno is that elite that I still think he's the sixth best midfielder to buy this week. Jared Bowen does come in at number five. In terms of midfielder sales, it is Odango. He has to go. He's not starting for Bournemouth, and I don't care about the fact that what happens in the FA Cup later on today. I still think that he needs to be sold. Jacob Murphy costs 0.1 million less. And if you haven't got your Newcastle assets, it's a very easy sell. Cole Palmer, ditto. Again, I just think he's not delivering for the money you're paying up for him. So again, he needs to be moved. Rodgers, he's been great in every competition outside of the Premier League of late. So he's a guaranteed starter. I just still think that at that price, you've got Ismaili Assar, you've got Jacob Murphy. Rodgers is an easy selling point. Luis Diaz, I don't know why people are buying him still. And I think you just need to sell him. As I said, he's again rotation risk. Cody Gap goes back a fit, and we've seen from slot he quite often rotates Luis Diaz to the bench. Semenyo, he's on here even though they've got a nice little run of fixtures. He's on 9 yellow cards, so as soon as he gets that 10th one, if you're on wildcard, you need to address that. Just get rid of him. He's probably going to get that 10th one before game week 32, which means he'll then miss two games, which is highly annoying when that's about 25% of the games left. And Brian Mbeumo, unfortunately, that run of fixtures means that he also comes in at number six this week. I hate to see him go, but he will be going on my wild card draft. I just can't see a world where I want to keep him this week. So the best forward buys and sells this week, and it is Isak number one. I think Isak number one is definitely the player that you want. This is the man that is in elite form. This originally, prior to yesterday's game, I actually had Mateta as number one, Isak number two, Haaland number three. But after I watched Crystal Palace yesterday, I've dropped Mateta to three just based on what I watched last night. But Palace fans tell me that in general, that's how Mateta plays, and quite often he just gets the chances and he scores. So I'm happy to still have him in the top three, and I think he still isn't the third best forward to have this week. But I think Isak's definitely a number one buy. You've got to address that. He is going to rise in price before the deadline, I would suggest 100%. Erling Haaland, again, you've got the Leicester fixture right in front of you. He is the obvious captaincy choice this week. I think he's better than Mo Salah, and I'll be captaining him in my team this week. And I just think that the Norwegian beast, he could finish with a flourish. I really think he could finish with a flourish. So for me, I'm quite excited about that. Mateta, again, with that double game week and the double-double now confirmed, and we know that he's back playing. Yes, he's in the mask. Hopefully he's not in the mask for too long and he's back to normal. But hopefully with that Southampton game straight off the bat, you expect him to deliver points. If you are after a cheaper option, Valentin's definitely the one. 5.7 mil, Ipswich at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home. He's got great underlying data as well, as we can see there. And he only costs 5.7. A great option to have. Strand Larsen, again, he is yellow flagged, apparently he's got a hand injury, but no one's missing with a hand injury unless you're a goalkeeper, so he'll be fine. Again, he's off the back of two ridiculous goals that I don't know, still don't know how they went in. Aaron Ramsdale made a meal of them. But he's got two really nice fixtures in front of him, and he's guaranteed to be starting with Cunha out of the team. Cody Gakpo is actually a really interesting option. Liverpool have a nice run of fixtures, and Slot loves him, and he's back fit, and he was playing for the Netherlands, so I can't see any reason why he wouldn't start here. Cunha is definitely a sell. He's not going to be serving you any purpose and for another 2 or 3 weeks. He's just got to be sold. Chris Wood, the Woody Woodpecker, as I said, unfortunately, his run, I think, in my team for the season may have just finished. Unfortunately, that injury is probably the death knell for him. He's obviously not scored the last 3 or 4 Premier League games as well. Beto, that fixture run, along with Raul Jimenez and Wissa, for that reason, those three forwards have the hardest runs of fixtures coming up. They have to be sold for that very reason. They're easy sells for any of the ones above. And João Pedro was benched in the FA Cup. I don't know if that was because he was travelling back from Brazil, but that was disappointing for his owners. And I just think that, in reality, he's probably the one, like, I understand it. I think there's just better options. And for that reason, he's also a sell this week. So my made transfers so far on Wildcard 30, this is what I've done so far. So I can tell you that Palmer, Wissa, Fabianski, and Creswell have all been moved out of my team already. I've guaranteed they have definitely moved. And so far, at the moment, it's Isak, Pope, Munoz, and Ismaili Assar. Now, Munoz is definitely staying. Isak's definitely staying. Pope and Ismaili Assar could become other people. Still not sure on that one, but that's where I'm at the moment. I'm pretty confident those four are going to stay, and now I'm going to show you what my actual wildcard draft is looking like. And I only concocted this today when I thought about it, and I thought, oh, if Arsenal double, everyone's going to have them. If they keep some clean sheets and I'm not on it, I'm just going to be missing out, and my rank is going to be just falling down the gurgler. So for that reason, I've now concocted this new wildcard draft. So you can see the current squad there prior to the start of the game week. So I had Areola, Fabianski, Kerkez, Creswell, Robinson, Aitnori, Milinkovic, Palmer, Bruno Fernandes, Mo Salah, Mbeumo, Kluivert, Wissa, Haaland, and Wood. That was 108.1 million squad value. The team on the right, as I said, I've already bought in Munoz, I've already bought in Pope, I've already bought in Ismaili Assar, I've already bought in Isak. So and the players that I've left are obviously Wissa, Palmer, Creswell, and Fabianski. Now, I can actually create this squad for 100, and the squad value was 107.2 with nothing left in the bank, which is normally a sign that is what you should do. This time of the year, if you're going to wildcard, spend it all up. Now, because of the fact that Nottingham Forest are highly likely to hopefully not blank, that means that I'm kind of setting myself up well for blank game week 34 as the same time as preparing myself for double game week 33. So with the two Arsenal assets in there, Raya and Gabriel, I covered myself there. I still have my three Palace assets. I've already got two Bournemouth assets in case they beat Man City. And then I've got Bruno Fernandes as well, which is probably realistically the only Man United player I actually want from their squad. Maybe I could bring in Onana, but I just don't think it makes a hell of a lot of sense. In terms of the actual other players, Aston Villa obviously have some great assets, right? Maybe if it's Aston Villa versus Man City in that double game week 33, potentially Bruno Fernandes could drop down to an Asensio, or maybe a Kluivert becomes an Asensio and I attack it that way. I'm just not too sold on Aston Villa doubling because of all their fixtures in the pile-up. I'm not convinced they're going to be the best. I didn't own any of them in their double game week 25 either. So I'm thinking along the same lines of that they're in Europe. They're going to be exerting themselves all over the place. Eventually, it's going to start telling, and maybe they're just not very good assets to own. So for me, I'm kind of ignoring them, and I am going with Haaland. Now, if the Haaland experiment doesn't work, and all of a sudden Phil Foden and others start popping off, it's very easy. I'll just be using my transfers to move Haaland out and fix up the midfield with a few more expensive assets. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. Obviously, now I have got the Arsenal players in there. For anyone that was wondering why I didn't have Arsenal players, it's because I didn't think they were going to double. I honestly thought Fulham were going to win last night. They didn't. So now I've changed my mind a little bit. This is what I'm looking at. Again, that's exactly 107.2 million squad value. Let me know in the comments if you are wildcarding and if your wildcard has changed overnight based on the results and what it's likely to do if it changes again tonight. based on the results. So that brings me to the end of my transfer tips for game week 30. Look, let me know if you disagree, if you agree with any of the players I've recommended to sell, to buy. These are obviously just my personal opinions, and I've obviously sold a lot of the players that I'm recommending to sell this week, and I'm obviously buying a lot of players that I'm recommending to buy this week. Obviously, wildcard's going to be interesting. I will be back tomorrow with my team selection video, probably a little bit earlier than this because I am making this quite late today. I've tried to give it as much time as possible to think about what I wanted to recommend. And then I'll be here on Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning for me in Australia for the deadline stream. So I hope to see you there. If you've liked this, please leave a like on the video, leave us a comment, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. That's been FPL The Unit.